things are more emotional and bring families closer together than the sport of football. The athleticism, the brute force, the close wins, and the heartbreaking losses. No team has nurtured that family bond better than the Green Bay Packers, and no place resembles that true football spirit better than the frozen tundra. Many people say you don't become a Packer fan. You're born that way. You bleed green and gold. Now, here are your hosts, father and son, Mike and Sean Reagan, with the Bleeding Green and Gold Podcast.
Welcome to week three edition of Bleeding Green and Gold. I'm Mike.
I'm Sean.
It's the father and son Packer podcast, and the best one out there. You can't find a better one on the internet.
Rodgers wins in overtime over the Bengals.
Wow.
Never beat the Bengals, never won in overtime. Can't say that anymore.
I saw, I don't know if you know the answer to this, but I think I saw something that he said, like, in all those overtime games, he'd only had like six chances to throw the ball.
Yeah, he pretty much never had the ball. That was kind of the reason for the record.
Okay. Well, 27-24, good guys win. Knew it was going to be a tough game, like, earlier last week, but then as the week went on, we kept getting this injury list that got longer and longer, and you're like, Cincinnati's a tough team.
Yeah, and that's kind of why it seemed to be kind of the tale of two halves.
Even though
we do that a lot, it seems, but it seems like we struggled a lot in the first half and then kind of learned how to work around the injuries in the second.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and the beginning of the first half, I said it probably more than once, but it sure looked like both our offense and defensive lines were being pushed around pretty good. They looked like they had roller skates on, and so we couldn't stop the run, and we couldn't get our run game going at all. So,
What was that?
I was going to say, do you want to touch on the injuries first?
That's what I was going to say. Main injuries we had going into the game, because it is pretty much it's a list of a lot of our key guys.
Yes.
We have Bakhtiari, Jake Ryan, who's been making a lot of plays for us and doing well on run as well. Devon House, Kentrell Bryce, Randall Cobb, Mike Daniels, and Nick Perry.
Yeah, just
those last two hurt the most,
Big time. And it's that interview where Rodgers made that comment about being able to only throw it six times. He talked about it as he was getting ready for the game, and he just kind of took a moment to come out of his head and looked around the locker room and saw the people who weren't suiting up, and he's like, oh man, these are some big time players.
Yeah, you're basically playing with half your defense. I saw a statistic today that Rodgers just beat the Bengals in overtime with two-thirds their salary cap. Two-thirds of the Packers salary cap.
I don't know if you want to say totally desperate, but they were pretty desperate coming in at 0-2.
They were definitely desperate. One, because you start 0-3, that's considered kind of a death nail for playoffs. So you see a lot of 0-2 teams, they need to get that win before, it's too late. But also, you just have the story of the fact that they hadn't had a touchdown yet this year. They fired their offensive coordinator. They brought in,
That's
Lazor.
Right. Yeah.
And they just kind of needed something to give here, and it looked like it was going to for most of the game.
Yep. That first half
would
especially.
Not want to be a Cincinnati fan watching that game.
Right. they got their first, two passing and one running touchdown, if I remember right. I don't know. I know their first
one
was a
pass. Well, they had the pick six.
Yeah, that's right. Defense gave up two. Rodgers gave up a
un-Rodgers-like pick six in the first half. Not really a bad throw. The spot you want it to be on for those out routes, but just a bad read. Should have never thrown it to begin with.
I agree. But it was a nice play on the defense. Mm-hmm. They did a nice job.
Biggest story, I'd say, coming out of the game was Romo.
He played great.
Yeah.
No picks.
It was fun. Yeah, I liked having him as the announcer. He didn't even have the announcer voice.
No.
The third and six.
Yeah.
Packers to the line.
Hello, friends. Welcome to Lambeau.
Yeah,
he was just a kid.
He was
excited to watch the game, excited to share what he sees.
He's from, I think it's in New Berlin, Wisconsin. I can't remember exactly, but he is a Wisconsin boy, grew up watching the Packers, and he really did sound like he was a fan. You know, I'm sure the Bengals fans hated it.
He slipped up a couple times, especially at the end there when Rodgers got the ball for that final game-tying drive to bring it to overtime. Rodgers gets the ball, goes out on the field, and Romo goes, "Come on, Rodgers, tie it up for us," or something for that. He said us, and I remember thinking that's a no-no as an announcer. But
and we're used to Troy Aikman being the opposite. You know, he's not a Packer fan.
Yeah, any good Packer play, and Aikman's going, "Well, that was probably pass interference. They just missed it."
Well, I really did enjoy it, and he is good. I mean, he I think the biggest part is, he's not the only one out there that can do it, but, I mean, he knows the plays. He goes, "Oh, this is going to be a play action," or, you know, there's other guys who do it, but he doesn't do it like he's a pompous you-know-what. Mm. He's very down-to-earth, he loves the game.
He reads the pre-snap like a quarterback for you. And it kind of made me think, you know, not to be mean, but why can't Phil Simms do this?
Oh.
He's a quarterback.
So do we have the same announcing outfit on Thursday?
We do. They didn't even leave town. Romo's going to visit family and then going back to Lambeau.
He's probably having an early Thanksgiving or something. Oh, that's cool.
He mentioned that during the game, that he was excited to be able to stay in the area and visit people he knows.
So how am I doing here?
You're good. Should we start in on the offense?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's go with it.
Well, Aaron Rodgers. Let's do two halves of Aaron Rodgers. First half, Aaron did not, just kind of seemed like the timing's not there. The line's collapsing. He can't step up in the pocket. He can't extend plays like he's needing. You still got Cobb out that shifts everyone around in their roles.
Guys couldn't get open?
No, they couldn't get open. Not a good first half for the offense. Second half, it really seemed to click more. I thought they'd really be getting the ball out quicker in the second half, and they did a little bit, but not as much as I expected with how little help they were getting on the line.
And weren't they saying, we kept saying, why don't they give some help to these new tackles and stuff like that, but apparently they were.
Yeah, apparently Montgomery was just missing his blocks or not doing them all together. Romo pointed out at one point, you know, he's supposed to hit anyone, basically.
Right.
Supposed to chip someone, doesn't really matter who. Just on your way out, hit someone. Didn't even get close. He just ran his route.
And it just doesn't make – it's hard for me to compute that, because I'm sure as he goes to the sideline, they're, hey, you got to hit somebody. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then he goes out and doesn't do it again. I don't know how.
But then the next drive, you see him, guy fully blocked on the line. I think it was our guard on him, on their nose tackle.
So he
and he ran in and just – threw his body into the guy.
And the guard looks at him, what are you doing?
No reason to block him, but he needed to hit someone because I'm sure he got yelled at.
So Aaron finished with 28 of 42 passes, 313 yards, three touchdowns, and that pick six interception, which I literally had my mouth was open when he threw that, and it was just like, he doesn't do that. What was it, like 8 years since he threw the last pick six?
Yeah.
Something like that.
I think it was 2008 was the last one.
Was it? Okay. All righty.
Bad first half, but then, you know, second half you have a couple big plays with Allison. He had...
Draw the ball!
He had a nice first down grab for him. And then Rodgers, being Rodgers in overtime, caught him offsides, got the free play. Allison down the sideline, perfect bomb to him, just kind of hit him in the hands. Never even broke stride.
So
that's always fun. And then you had the crazy game tying touchdown to Jordy, just that 1 yard out route.
And you can't, it's hard to explain, because we couldn't figure out if it hit the defender's hand or
it looked
wrist.
Like it did.
And hit it something. Like ricocheted a little bit. And it's not like Jordy had time to readjust. He's falling out of bounds basically as he catches it and makes it good. It's just a, If you haven't had a chance to see it, I'd YouTube it and just give it a look, because It is extremely impressive. And then, like you said, the Geronimo pass that he got in overtime got him down to like the 6-yard line. Boy, he's a big, tall, lanky guy. And he can move once he gets out in the open field.
I agree. We just kind of need our offense to play two halves now.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they definitely seem to figure out
in halftime how to make it work. And I think part of it, too, is, like they were saying during the game, we haven't really seen the Bengals' defense. They were going into the year, we thought they'd have one of the top defenses in the league. But we're not going to see it when their offense isn't doing anything.
Right.
So.
Right. They were good.
They were.
And again, it's one of those where it's hard to tell how good they were because of how many injuries we had. But, boy, obviously it took us everything we had to win that game to go into overtime.
And obviously you miss Cobb. You know, he's a playmaker. He's always there on third down. He's good at making space when Rodgers scrambles. But I'd say the biggest injuries on offense had to be, you know, our line. You had Bulaga back and then goes out again during the game. It looked like he was trying to come back in on the sideline. We saw that, so maybe it's not too bad. Just kind of retweak the ankle.
Yeah, those linemen are tough.
But, oh, man, it was a lot of pressure on Rodgers, especially in the beginning. They were just kind of getting pushed back. You said it, Murphy was on skates for part of it. You saw him. He would get pushed to the ground onto his knees a couple times a play.
He was probably the worst. Yeah. And then you kind of focused on him, and you said it, and so then I focused on him.
He seemed to kind of figure out later in the game, though. And he hasn't had really any starting experience before this year. He's only a second-year guy. The organization, they seem to have a lot of faith in him.
That's great. We talked about last podcast about how tough it is to bring these guys in from college ball to the NFL because they don't have to play the same type of system. So it takes a while for them.
And then we also had Lane Taylor go out with an injury. No news on him. We're recording this Monday evening because we have the Thursday night game. Wanted to get it out quick for you guys. But because of that, we don't have a clue when it comes to injuries.
Yeah. That's what it's tough about when we have those Thursday night games. And, of course, so much of it is BS. You know, they do what they have to do at the bare minimum. So you're just kind of guessing. I guess Jordy wasn't lying when he said he'll be fine because he looked good. What do you have, like how many catches? Yeah, Jordy had 6 catches for 52 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, Jordy was Jordy.
Yes.
I mean, we know he can play hurt. You remember last year, it looked like he shouldn't have even been on the field, but he was still making catches.
Right.
So, I don't know. It didn't even really – you couldn't – if you didn't know he was questionable going into the game, you wouldn't have known he was hurt.
Right, exactly. Kendricks had
Farm
a couple
boy.
Kendricks had a couple of big catches and a touchdown for us. And, of course, as we mentioned, that Geronimo Allison play, that was just so – I mean, it's just another highlight reel throw and catch.
Added to the reel.
Yes.
It's nice to see Kendricks doing well, especially with Stonehands Bennett.
So how you feel about him?
No, I like Bennett. He's been not the best, but a good receiver his whole career. He's bounced around a lot, but he's a big guy. He's great in blocking. It's great to have him there. He'll figure out the catching. He will. Part of it, he's had some tough catches for a good chunk of the year here. I don't think he's used to how Rodgers fits him in a hole the way he does. And probably the zip he can get on him, too.
Well, that was Kendricks that had that one we were laughing at that he got thrown down the middle, and he was wide open, and he starts running, and he's, like, looking over his shoulder. He's going, okay, I know they're going to catch up to me.
Yeah, he's not out running anyone.
So he got tackled by the defensive lineman. No, I'm just kidding.
Rushing, not great rushing the ball. Montgomery was – you know, we didn't see much of Williams, so it was mainly Montgomery. But he ended up 12 runs for 35 yards. And then he had 8 receptions for 15 yards. So a lot of activity, but not much production for sure.
It really wasn't.
We talked about during the game, you know, he's getting the ball, but he's not making people miss the way we're used to seeing him make people miss and get the yards after the catch.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's strictly the line play that's causing that or it's him just not into it yet this year.
Yeah, it was weird watching him. You couldn't really tell if he was kind of on that borderline between being a patient runner mm-hmm. and being a hesitant runner. Like, you want the patience like you have with, like, Le'Veon Bell, where he sits there, lets the play develop, and then takes right. his gap. Mm-hmm. Whereas Montgomery has been good at that since taking over as running back. That's one thing we've said about him, that for being a guy that's not a running back, he's a very patient running back. He just kind of seemed too patient this game, where when he had to make his move, he just wasn't doing it in time.
Yeah, saying that, it makes me wonder if it really is part of the line play, because he's not seeing the holes open up. And so he's mm-hmm. trying to be patient, but if he doesn't get anything, then he just has to run into something that's not there. Yeah, he has been, I think, stymied by the lack of consistent line play. So it's going to mm-hmm. be – that could be it. I can't see him falling off as hard as – I mean, he was still making yardage for us. I just wish we had something to have for a run game. Mm-hmm.
It could be an injury, too, that we don't know about. You know, guys get banged up. You don't find out about it. Always it could be, like, in a weak ankle or something. Just kind of can't get that – the cut that he's used to. Who knows? We won.
That's right. Oh, boy, it felt good. Felt really good. So far, we're on our predictions. So we both picked the Packers to go 12-4. We were going to come out of this with a win and a loss, depending on if it was going to win for Seattle or Arizona, one of those two teams we were going to lose to. So now we got a big game coming up on Thursday, but you want to touch on the defense?
Let's touch on the defense. No Mike Daniels, no Nick Perry, who have been just studs us. Well, not just for us. They're finally getting league-wide recognition. It's weird almost. I'll be listening to, you know, a podcast or watching something about the NFL, and they'll bring up Daniels or Perry and be like, one of the top defensive players in the league. I'm like, what? Well, they never get brought up when you talk about top guys. So it's weird to see people noticing now. Right. And I think part of that is Packers have been in the spotlight for a long time now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, many years. Yep. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
But without them, the pressure just wasn't there.
No, we had to blitz to get anything in on them.
We were getting more creative, I think Capers was, in the second half, and that's why we were starting to get that pressure. But in the first half, it was just he had time to throw, and he had time to throw to A.J. Green, which isn't good for us.
And I felt like Cincinnati – they really were that desperate team and ready to go. Came out of the gates, they were ready to go. They were hitting people in the mouth and knocking people down, and Dalton got off to a really good start.
They did get off to a good start, and I think part of it with our pressure is Matthews doesn't create pressure besides just for himself, I feel like. He doesn't disrupt the line enough to get other guys open most of the time. I think he's the guy that takes advantage of other guys that do that.
Okay.
You remember when he didn't have Raji in, back when Raji was on our team, he would struggle because there was no one to open up his opportunities. And now with Perry and Daniels out, you know, it doesn't open him up, and they can really focus on double-teaming him. So we didn't really have an answer till the second half, but Josh Jones looked really good. Mm-hmm. He had 2 sacks for us. I mean, here, I have his stat line written down. So, hadn't played, you know, much at all. He's a rookie. Didn't play much in the first 2 games. Comes in this game. Starts pretty much the whole game at safety with Bryce out. And he has 12 tackles, 11 solo tackles, 2 sacks, 2 QB hits.
Wow.
That's a lot.
It is a lot.
That's a lot of activity.
I didn't realize it was that much.
He was all over the place.
Wow.
And 2 timely sacks, too. One of them pushed them out of the field goal range, so they missed that one.
That's right. Boy, Mixon looks good running the ball, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's going to be a good running back. Kind of going back to the whole patient runner thing with Bell. He looks, and I think they mentioned it during the game, he kind of looks like a young Le'Veon Bell, where he'll just stand there, basically, behind the line, let the line shift, let what happens happen. And then he'll make his move. And half the time, that's reversing the field and changing the whole direction of the defense, that they're kind of on their heels. And he is quick, and he can make guys miss, and he's pretty big.
I would say those were the biggest glaring things as far as the run game, was that those cutbacks really hurt us.
Yeah, when Mixon wasn't in, I felt like we did decent against the run. They have a talented running back core. They have three guys who would probably be starters on most teams. Wow. They have Jeremy Hill, who, you know, stud running back, who's now losing touches to Mixon because that's probably going to be their guy moving forward here. But you also have Giovanni Bernard, the Wisconsin Badger, who gets a lot of touches, or was, now that they have three guys, they're all getting less. But and he's good in the passing game. So they got a lot of talent in the backfield, kind of a tool for every situation.
So what'd you think of one of your favorite defensive players, King?
Yeah. King, I mean, you can't expect him to have the week he had last week. You know, last week we talked about he shut down Julio whenever he was in. Julio didn't catch it. He got beat a couple times. AJ Green's, you know, he's up there with Julio as one of the toughest guys to cover.
Very good.
And especially when we're not getting pressure, that's going to happen. But I thought for the most part he looked good.
Sometimes when you don't get your name called a lot, it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, if he does take Randall's spot and Randall moves down to the second corner, I think that would be a good thing for us. I think, you know, Randall's struggling, but maybe if he doesn't have to be on their top guy every play, he can get some stuff figured out. Rollins did not look good. Rollins has not looked good.
What was that play? It ended up being a touchdown for Cincinnati. Or two, and this is going to happen when you have young guys on defense, but they didn't communicate.
Josh Jones. Okay. That was one of the few non-bright spots for him, so way to point that one out.
Hey, that's what we do.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, they were in the red zone. I think it was it Mixon? Whoever they had in the backfield, they had him out wide. Then they motioned him behind next to the quarterback. And you saw Jones kind of follow him because they're in man. And then he's supposed to communicate with the linebacker next to him. I think it was I'm blanking on his name right now. Martinez. He's supposed to let him know, okay, you know, that guy moved, so now if he goes that way, he's yours. If he goes this way, I got him. Mm-hmm. They didn't communicate, and he was wide open.
Just wide freaking. He skipped into the end zone.
Jones, it looked like, realized what happened, tried to get over there, but he got caught up in traffic.
Right.
It's going to happen. You got young guys. You got a lot of the veterans who will help with the communication, not there.
Right.
Perry's big on making sure people are where they need to be, it seems.
But I agree with what you wrote down here. There's a lot to be happy about with two rookie defenders. So I really agree with that.
Yeah. I think if they can keep up what they're doing, keep learning the system, and just keep getting better, we got a lot to be hopeful for. It'll be nice to have two big hits at corner. We haven't had a good drafted corner probably since Hayward, I would say.
It's been too long. but I think all in all, with the injuries and stuff like that, I think the defense played pretty good. And they really, you got to take, you know, seven of those points away from what Aaron threw, that interception.
Yeah, they allowed 17 points. I think we said it at the beginning of the season. All we kind of need our defense to do, it feels like, is hold them under 30 and let Rodgers do the rest. Didn't really see that this game or the last couple with the offense struggling, but normally that's the case. So if we can hold guys, you know, teams to 17 points, we're going to win a lot of games.
I was flipping around listening to some different stuff on TV and on the radio today, and one of the themes that I heard a few times were people saying, now feels like they got the rust off. You know, we had some really good games this weekend, and including the Thursday night game. And so it's nice to see that coming around.
Yeah, kind of September's almost turning into preseason.
Yeah.
Where you don't have, you know, the ability to practice in pads that you did before and get guys game ready. So that takes them the first few games. And it seems like you're seeing more injuries because of that too, because there's just been so many, not just the Packers, but league-wide.
Right.
It's just insane.
And you wonder if some of that is not being game ready.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember who it was. I think it was Odell Beckham. He got upset and called out the league saying they need to stop all the injury reports and mandatory injury reports and all that, because all that's there for is to help bettors.
And the other teams strategize against you. Special teams.
Crosby. Boy. Missed Mr. Go-To, Mr. Depends.
Dependable. Mr. Depends.
Not, we won't stick with that one. Mr. Dependable is what I was going for.
Yeah, he is. He definitely is. It just feels...
He is getting gray hair, so maybe soon Mr. Depends.
Hey, I got gray hair.
Little silver fox.
But it's so nice to have a kicker that, of course, you get a little nervous. I mean, mm-hmm. it's just part of the game, but it's nothing like if you got somebody in there that you're just like, oh, can we just make this one, please?
Yeah, we had that year where Crosby was struggling, but we stuck with him, and I'm glad we did. You don't always see teams do that,
right.
And then you see them go to another team, and they get their head right, and you're like, whoa. Like we did with the punter that went to Seattle. They sent him to a sports psychologist. All of a sudden, he's one of the best punters in the league.
That's right. Yeah. Well, he had a couple of field goals and three extra points, so he was perfect for mm-hmm. the day.
And he had our game-tying extra point.
Mm-hmm.
You hate to see that, you know, now that the extra points are moved back
right.
and it's not, you know, 99.5% chance of making it, you have the game-tying touchdown, but then, oh, wait, there's still this part, you know, and you're like, he could miss this. They're missable now. They
yeah,
changed
they are.
That.
And they and
it,
still
it did them. Add excitement to it, you know. Before, what was an extra point? It was meaningless.
So Trevor Davis has been is returning punts now, and he had five of them, averaged 14, and mm-hmm. he had a long of 33.
Yeah, he had that 33-yarder was nice, but on most of his returns, he made a couple guys miss. He seems to have good vision on him. I don't remember who said it, but a couple weeks ago there was a guy on a different team said he wishes he could still return punts. I think he got too valuable.
Hmm.
But he said he really enjoyed doing it because it was like playing on the highway. You're looking up at the ball, and the second you look down, you got big guys running
right.
full speed at you.
And the ground shaking.
He's doing well with it, though. We had that one, and I think the announcers even said it at the end of the first half, trying to get some points on the board, and it looked like he could have easily had, you know, 10, 15 yards on the punt return. But what we thought it was is seemed pretty obvious. Coaches told him, doesn't matter where the ball goes.
Right.
You're calling fair catch.
Right. Which they do.
Or if it's inside however many yards, you let it go, that kind of thing.
Right.
But I like him. He looks good. We don't always have reliable punt returners, and he's been good for us.
So your take from the game is?
I wish we played both halves. They're a good defense, though. I'm glad we figured it out and looked good against them. Later in the game, their offense seemed to really step it up. I think the play calling with Bill Lazor, he actually did a really good job going in there with a team that was struggling. Probably didn't have a lot of confidence on offense.
Bill Lazor would be the new offensive coordinator for Cincinnati.
Thank you.
First time.
but he came out there, and he did exactly what I thought he should have done. He did a lot of quick, short passes, get guys in space, you know, let them complete a lot of passes. I think Dalton, if I remember correctly, started out 13 of 15. So that's a, you know, good completion percentage to start out the game, and it just builds the confidence. You saw the confidence building for the offense, especially that first drive to go down the field. You had that long play down the sideline where then we also got the face mask, another 15, and they get their first touchdown of the year. It seemed to kind of be a big momentum thing for them that they carried through the whole half.
Well, I think as far – and then on the Packer front, I think we've covered it pretty good. It was just one of those games where it was nice to see them – I think this is a real confidence booster for everybody on the team. Yeah, we didn't have a lot of our stars in there, mm-hmm. but we were still able to win. And that gives your young guys a lot of confidence and the old guys some confidence in the young guys.
Yeah, we missing a lot of guys. Some weird stuff happened throughout the game, which always happens, but – good teams win close games,
mm-hmm.
and we won.
See, I wanna,
2-1.
I want to bring up a couple of other things, but first I want to mention if you are or know of anybody that could use some voiceover work, whether it's for radio, TV, video, messaging on hold, anything where you need somebody to put a voice to what for your company or whatever, please check out Voice Guy Next Door. .com. That's voiceguynextdoor.com. And then I've got my contact information there, and they got a couple of pieces you can listen to and see if you want to work with this guy. One thing I want to bring up is that Detroit Lions game. At the end of the game, they called back a touchdown, said he was down at the 1 yard line, and then due to regulation, the rules, they have to count. There was, what, 8 seconds left, and they have to count it down.
There's 9 seconds left, and if that happens on a running clock, there's officially 10 seconds taken off the clock before the ball, before the next play, and there wasn't enough time to cover that, so the game was over, and Lions ended up with the ball at the 1-inch yard line.
Yeah.
And a loss.
Oh, that's a tough, tough way to lose. And how about the Bears? I can't remember the guy who did it, but he's running the ball into the end zone.
Special teams player.
And he decides, I'm going to showboat 1 yard before and slow down. And they came up behind him, knocked the ball out, and he didn't get the touchdown. They ended up having to go. Bears went into overtime and won that game, but they're lucky they did.
Yeah. They might not have had to go to overtime because they fumbled in the end zone. Steelers got an illegal batting, which gave them a field goal, and they got the field goal. But, you know, that's a big swing to go from 7 points to 3 in a close game where you're a big underdog against the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be running laps, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right, are you ready for the game ball?
I'm ready for the game ball.
And time for the game ball.
The game ball.
I'm picking two players. We got two game balls today.
Okay. Do we have the budget for that?
It's early in the season, yep. We're still
good. We'll figure it out later.
Yeah, right. Put it on the credit card.
Yeah.
Geronimo. You give one to Geronimo.
Okay.
He had a great game. Yeah, I think he had, what did he end up with?
6 receptions, 122 yards.
Yeah. Nice job, Geronimo. And then I'm going to give the other one to Josh Jones for playing so good.
Josh Jones.
Yep.
One on offense, one on defense.
That's right.
I'd say they're good choices.
Well, thank you, sir. Okay.
Should we move on to picks?
Yeah.
All right. So here's how last week ended up. We both got the Bears wrong. I think, looking back, I still would pick the Steelers.
Yeah. Yep. I would do it tomorrow if they played again.
19 out of 20 times Steelers win that game.
That's right.
Vikings, you got right. I got wrong. I thought the Buccaneers were going to win it. Buccaneers had a lot of injuries. They kind of look like we did on defense. Mm-hmm. They lost Gerald McCoy. McCoy, they're Mike Daniels, basically. And I think they had 6 of their starters on defense out during the game. So there's
what about their offense, though? Because I really didn't see much of their defense play. I saw their offense really struggled. I mean, I know Vikings have a very good defense.
They have a really good defense. But Jameis Winston, he's one of the top talented young quarterbacks in the league right now. But he's also a very Favre-esque gunslinger who can make some bad decisions. And he'll fit balls where he maybe can't fit balls into. And the Vikings punished him for it.
Okay. And there was a point, I can't even tell you where it was in the game. It must have been a little ways in. But they did kind of a close-up shot to him, and he just had that pained expression on his face. Like, this is not fun today. I'm not having fun.
Both got the Falcons right.
Yeah.
We knew that was going to happen. Wasn't even close in the end. And then we both got the Packers right, also not close in the end. So
yeah, right.
We're doing well. And so at this point in the year, you are up by 1, and we only have 2 games to pick for next week.
Oh, okay. So we got Lions at the Vikings. That should be a really good game.
Noon game on Sunday.
Okay.
Who you got?
I'm going to go with the Vikings.
I'm going to go with the Lions.
Wow. And Bears at Packers.
We both got the Packers.
Yeah, sure do.
Well, all right, so we'll be tied up again after this week. Hopefully 3-1. Maybe. I was going to say, it's tough because you feel like it's a short week for the Packers to go from a tough, kind of grinding overtime win. That's tough, but Bears also had a pretty grinding win against the Steelers.
Yeah, they went overtime
as well.
Yeah.
So we'll see. They're both probably going to be pretty tired teams
pretty
playing
sore
on Thursday. Yeah. Not hopefully. According to the forecast, you're going to have a nice, cool, low 50s game, though.
Boy, they blew out that record Sunday, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, every time you saw the sidelines, you got McCarthy just dripping sweat.
I saw his post-conference. He was still dripping. It's like, take off some clothes, dude. Take your hat off or something.
I feel bad for him. I know that feeling. No one wants to sweat whilst just standing somewhere. That never feels good.
Oh, my cartoon bubbles are popping up to give you some lines on that. All right, we got to wrap things up.
Yeah, let's wrap it up. We moved on to 2-1. We'll see you guys at 3-1. In the meantime, join the Facebook group. Join the conversation. We'll love to have you there. We got some stuff in the works moving forward with the podcast. We think you'll enjoy it. And to help support us, help us grow the show, you know, rate us on iTunes, wherever you listen. That's one of the things that helps us grow the most.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Share the show, too, if you have different groups you're a part of, different Packer fan groups, because we know you are. We can't be the only one.
Yeah, we're still taking names and numbers for folks that you might have an interesting story about being a Packer fan. And so if you're interested in doing that, we would record it and then put it together and put it in a podcast. They can reach out to Sean at...
Sean@bleedinggreenandgold.com. Or if you want to send it in to feedback@bleedinggreenandgold.com. Or if you have feedback, you can also send that to feedback@bleedinggreenandgold.com.
All right, one of the best rivalries in the NFL coming up on Thursday. Until next week, go Pack, go!
Thank you for listening to the Bleeding Green and Gold podcast with your hosts, Sean and Mike Reagan. Make sure to subscribe and check out the website at bleedinggreenandgold.com. Join the Facebook group. All questions and comments are welcome. Send them to feedback@bleedinggreenandgold.com. And until next time, go Pack, go!